Me and my daughter Keelan want to pray a blessing over you guys today. So would you bow your heads as we go to the Lord in prayer? So Father God, we just want to pray a blessing on everyone that is gathered here today, those who are on their way, those who are on live stream. Lord, we're excited about what your Holy Spirit is doing in our church. And ask you, Father God, to have your way as we submit our way to your way. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you all. Let's give it up to the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. So we were looking for, I think somebody's getting baptized here. Is it Sarah here? Would you go to the office? Miss Anita's waiting for you. Or Mike, would you show her where she needs to go to get with Miss Anita? Let me talk a little bit about what's been going on. So cue your Bibles up to Mark chapter 14, verse 38. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about here before we do our offering. And it's going to be fitting because this is our last message on love for this month. Then we kind of march into, we call it marching to the cross. We're really just days away from Easter. Did you know that Easter's like April 4th here? I mean, it's like real quick. So we're kind of getting you ready and everybody's like, what? So in our midst, we've had so many people join our church as of lately. Last week, we had 12 people give their life to Jesus Christ. Amen. Then last night, we had some people who give their life to Jesus, or I'm sorry, got baptized last night. And they came all the way from Kingdom City. There were some neighbors of mine that moved to Kingdom City, and they said, man, we love your church so much. We're just going to start coming back, even though we live in Kingdom City. So for you that don't know, that's 2 hours. That's 120 miles one way to get to church. So no excuse for you guys. And then I have my friend who came from Russia to be here, and he's in the front row today. So flew all the way from Russia to be here to church. Top that. And I'm just like, praise God. And this young man has been in our midst for quite some time. He's just an awesome young man. I thank you, brother, for being here in our assembly today. That's kind of cool, isn't it, to worship, regardless of where you was growed up. God's the God over all the whole place, the whole universe. Can we say that today? And it's a great spring day. I wanted to tell you, though, so a lot of you guys want spring, you want green, you want trees and flowers and all that. Sometimes in life, you'll have to go through the rainy seasons and the mud that's out there. Say that with me, mud. A lot of you guys are like, don't bring it in the house. But in order to have all the greenery and all the birds chirping and all that, you need a little rain to water God's things so you can have all the glorious stuff. What I'm trying to say here today is he's trying to paint a picture for you today. A picture of his glory and his majesty, and he loves you so very much, doesn't he? It's a wonderful day today. So just wave to your neighbor and say hello to them real quick. So all the baptism, and then all of a sudden, after we baptized these two wonderful people, Angela and Aaron, then one of our friends, Mike Dave, gets up and he says, I want to be baptized. And we baptize him. We got some people that are getting baptized today, and God's just working in the church. I wish I could describe how God's working, but it's hard to just, when people give their lives to Jesus, that's watch this class, that's supernatural stuff. I really don't have anything to do with that other than presenting the word to the people and them making a decision to give their life to Jesus or to be baptized and all these wonderful things. And I'm glad I can be a part of it, as you are as well. So that's kind of cool. So we're going to be talking about the Spirit. We're going to be talking about love. So let's go to Mark 14:38, and I'll ask our ushers and them to come down here, and we'll get ready for the offering. Watch and pray that you may not enter temptation. Now say this with me, class 1, 2, 3, go. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the one more time, but the one more time so they can hear you, but the oh, my wife told me last night, I'm going to be honest with you. She said this to me. She goes, quit telling people you're on a diet. I was on that like 9-to-5 diet where you only eat for, I'm like, oh man, 8 hours, dude, I can put it away. But then when like friends come by and you're like, we got any ice cream or anything? So I've drifted outside the parameters of five. And I was thinking, I said, I'm still under diet form, but I just get out of shape a little bit when I feel like it. And you go, well, what does that got to do with the message? The message is flesh being weak, but the spirit's able and or willing. And a lot of you, you're all up here laughing, go, oh, man, that guy is so messed up with his diet. What is the flesh telling you? You guys are getting down in the flesh and in your own way, and the spirit's there if you're born again to influence you. It's actually, we called it today in the deacon's meeting, brother, we called it being intoxicated by the power of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, intoxicated with the Holy Spirit, but still caving in to the cunning craftiness that the flesh so desires. And the way we do that is by feeding the spirit man more than we feed the flesh. So if the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak, let's stay to the prompting of the spirit. Amen. So what's the context in this? So they're in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you know Jesus is going by the way, and he's going to allow people to take him over and all this kind of thing. And I don't want to spoil it all because I want to save some for Easter, but here's what he says in verse 41, I want to throw in here. He's actually talking to Peter here, and he says he came the third time. So this is three times. And I thought about this. This reminds me of what my wife says to me when we sit down in the basement to watch a movie, quote unquote. And then I'll be sitting in my recliner, and if I'm burning a fire in the stove behind me, she'll ask me the question. She'll go, are you sleeping? I'm like, and I'm trying to give her an answer without lying, but try to appease her at the same time, so I'm caught up like in two worlds. Which way do I go? I go, I can't lie. So I go, and I wake up a little bit, and I'm like, not sleeping a whole bunch. I just, and I'm like, you know when you hit the recliner, guys. I need an amen from a dude. When you're in there and you're anywhere near a warm fire, you're like, you know what, man, I wasn't planning on sleeping, but I'm sleeping. And that's just a few things that are going on in my life. And so in your life, you say, I would like to walk in the Spirit. So let's drop the house lights down for just a second, and we'll talk about that. We'll pray about that, and then we'll get into the message. And some of you guys, and I wish I wouldn't have said that. I knew I shouldn't have, but I said it anyways. Just say hello now. I wish, man, I wish I wouldn't have said that, Laurel. The Spirit was withholding. He was holding me back like a bridle on a horse. All of a sudden, I gave way to it. And I said it anyways. Wouldn't you like to operate more in the Spirit than you are in the flesh? Bow your head and just raise your hand and just say, that's me. I'd like to be under the influence of God more than I am in the flesh. And I'm going to pray for you. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, the hands raised and the hearts that are raised, and just let them operate in the Spirit. And Father God, while we're at it, we just ask you to bless the offering too. In Jesus' name, amen. So applaud the Lord. Turn up the lights. Let the offering be picked up. Let's go. Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you. So Sarah's getting baptized and Haley is getting baptized today. So let's give it up for Sarah and Haley. Awesome. So I remember, if you don't remember when you got baptized, you might want to scratch your head a little bit and say, I want to be baptized because I want to be obedient. Jesus himself was baptized. He got baptized. He said, I want to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Baptism doesn't save you. You get baptized because you are saved. It's an outward profession of an inward conversion. Outward profession of an inward conversion. And a lot of people right now, Mike Sr. would go, well, I can't get baptized because I didn't bring my shorts. I didn't bring my flip-flops. I didn't bring my T-shirt. And somebody asked me about our friend Dave. He, great big strapping, good-looking guy. And they go, he got baptized. He goes, what did he get baptized in? And I go, I don't know. I guess somebody gave him a pair of shorts or something like that. But he was more concerned about... Oh, here's the deal. You'll either find a way or you'll find an excuse for it. You can't go there if you just said you want to be spirit-led and then letting your flesh lead you. You go, you know what, man, these are like brand new jeans. Well, maybe they need to be dunked. You remember the stonewashed jeans? I was thinking about them. Don't wear those anymore. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, underline that, we'll talk about that, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Let me give a little ditty on this real quick, and so you guys understand. Take a look there at 4:8, and what this means is when Jesus died, he finally made a way for those who were captive and had no way of ascending into heaven. So when Jesus did that, he broke forth a way and allowed us all to be catapulted into glory. Amen? And that's just a real, real short version of that. Verse 9, it says, in saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who has descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. He gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body, until we all attain the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to measure the stature and the fullness of Christ. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about every wind of doctrine by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, underline that, please. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint, which is equipped when each part is working properly. Say that with me, properly. Making the body grow strong, that it builds itself up in love. So properly is a key word because that's the way the church has to work. And while I was thinking of the word proper, I was thinking about my wife had something shipped to the house. Does anybody have anything shipped to their house? It's like constant. I mean, now you can just get on a computer and you go, hey, man, I want a big pink elephant sent to my front door. You know, within like 24 hours, you're like, whoa, man, you ought to see what's on your front porch, dude. So my wife orders another piece of equipment. We turning our whole basement into a gym down there. And I was sitting down, and I had to get going. I was headed to the farm, and I said, you know, I'm going to do the husbandly thing. I'm going to stop, and I'm going to serve her. I'm going to put her piece of exercise equipment together. So I get out my pocket knife and I started cutting the cellophane and the cardboard and all. She goes, whoa, 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 whoa. Watch it. And I go, watch what? She goes, you're going to end up cutting the padding on the thing. And I was like, okay. Didn't know that you didn't want me to help you. And she says, it has to be put together properly. At that point, I knew if it was going to be put together properly, I needed to exit. See, you can fake putting together exercise equipment, but the body of Christ has to operate, say it with me, class, properly. That means all the parts got to be put together. It seems or appears to my wife, Terry, every time I put something together, Bob, there's a couple extra parts. She's like, well, what does this handle go to? And I go, man, I don't know. They sent that thing here, and it's, those are just a waste right there. Amen. Don't try to fake it when you come into church and think you're going to get your church activity to save you. It's only by the Spirit of the living God flowing out to your body, your makeup, and you submitting to the Spirit of the living God. Let's talk about that today. And so I told the other service, the key to unlocking all those doors is love. It unlocks all the doors that are locked that you have been trying to get into, all the finances and the relationships and the blessing, and you're wondering, you're looking at families going, why are they so blessed? Because they have the key of love. And that's where I promise you, as your friend in Christ, it has to start with the Spirit of love. If you're trying to come to church to impress somebody or think that you're doing God a favor and all that like that, Kathy, don't do that. Just have the key of love and then tell God, I need to know where and when to use this love. So let's get into this, and I'll talk a little bit more about the key to love. So if you have keys in your pocket, know that God wants you to operate in the key of love to unlock all these wonderful doors. So he says, I, the Apostle Paul, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you, if you're reading in King James, it would probably say beseech you, which means begging you. Walk in a way worthy. With all humility and gentleness, these two words together, I want to talk to the men today. So be humble. Be humble in the Lord. Be humble in the Lord. That's hard to do sometimes because sometimes guys could get a little blowed up and they're not really humble. They if you have ever heard this, I just want you to nod. You don't have to give up the ghost on this. You go, that's my money. I made it on my own. I'll spend it how I want to. And if you've heard that, just nod. That's enough. God's allowed you to make some money that he owns, so you can manage it, so he can watch how you manage it to find out if he should give you any more of it. And just let it float out there for just a second. And then the gentleness part. Let me speak to the guys, ladies. Hold on for just a second. So sometimes it's hard for guys to be gentle. My wife, when I grab her hand, she goes, man, you're squeezing my hand. Quit. I was like, man, that's the pipes right here, babe. It's hard. Oh, yeah, it's hard to control these puppies. It's like a gun show up here. So, and like for dudes, it's hard. I'll give it to you. Like when we're shaking hands with a guy, you know what's up with the dude, right, when you're shaking his hand. Don't give it to me like a fish, like, oh, here you go. I want a guy to come in, and I'm going to load. If I know he's a big handshaker, I'm loading up on him. When Big Steve comes to shake your hand, you better get him in here. You see that? See the angle? Come on, guy. Oh, yeah. Big Steve, I may not be as big as you, man, but I'll tell you what, I can almost, like, lift you up. Do you guys think like that? Oh, you're dang skippy, they do. And if they can't do that, we're going to bring you in here with the hug. And it's like when my daughter's dating Jonathan, she said, I'd like bring it in here a little bit, you know, and you give it the dad one, you know, where you bring it in, you might go a little high up there and catch a little jawbone. I mean, what's up, man? Oh, what's up? Confession, if one of the guys out here, you're going high on him. We're taking him into the boards like we're playing hockey for a second. We're going up high. Be gentle in the Lord. He knows I'm firm, but I'm gentle in the Lord. Don't you don't have to write your resume when Jesus is in your heart. Guys know if you're a tough guy or not. But just because you're gentle, just because Jesus is gentle doesn't mean he's weak. He could whip some cats at any time. He's like, in the Garden of Gethsemane, these jokers finally get up on him like, hey, we got you. And Jesus is like, dude, I got to call down legion of angels on you clowns. It look like a circus here when I'm done with you boys. Amen? Knock you over like bowling pins in this place. Don't mistake gentleness with weakness. It's cool for a guy to be firm, but be gentle with his family and be gentle with his job and all that kind of stuff. It's cool. If your horn needs to be blowed, God will blow it for you. If your horn needs to be tooted, he'll toot it for you. So stay humble and stay gentle. And I can just relate to guys because, like, I'm a guy. I was trying to give you, like, some biblical answer. I was like, just tell me you're a dude. Amen. So, and then he said, gentleness, bearing with one another, the unity of spirit. There's one body. Let's go to 4:4. And then we're going to be getting into something here that I want to share with you. There's one body and one spirit, that just as you were called, one hope that belongs to your call. So let's go to Galatians 3:26. You don't have to turn there. I just want to give it to you out of 3:26. He says, For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ. Christ Jesus, rather. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. So me and my daughter was studying about this the other day. It just so happened to come up. And we talk about, if you want to know what the promise is, so we're the heirs of Abraham. And we get the promises that were promised to Abraham. So the promises are in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And these wonderful promises you can be an heir to if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So these promises, all the things you can get, it would be like somebody leaving you 200 acres and you go, you know what, I don't want it. Well, that would be stupid, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I want to leave you a diamond. I don't want it, Grandma. Hey, I don't need the diamond ring. Keep it. Wouldn't that be silly for you to walk out of here and not be born again by the blood of Jesus Christ? I mean, there's people that walk in and out of churches all over America all the time, and probably over in Russia, that never give their life to Jesus because they don't want what Jesus has. Well, I believe this stuff, and so that's why I'm coming to you today and asking you to do a little inventory and let the Spirit of God work in your life. Verse 4:7. He says, but grace was given to each one of you. So it's favor to each one of you. And he's giving gifts to men. So just because somebody else has a gift here and out there doesn't mean you're supposed to possess it. Remember how I aspire and desire to be a lead singer. I wanted to get that off my bucket list and see if I could do it. So at the North Service, I don't know if you guys, if you know this or not, but I got to tell you. I said, I'm going to sing one song with my daughter before Jesus comes back to get me. I go, sis, I go, just right in the middle of service, I go, I'm going to come up on stage and sing a song with you. And once I get up there and I start singing, I was like, dude, man, you have no business being up here singing at all. I was like, she goes, what'd you think, Dad? And I go, man, it's probably never going to happen again. But when you're there, you want what they have instead of what God has for you. So you're actually missing the whole thing. God goes, I got a perfect gift for you. All you have to do is reach out and grab it. And we'll talk about that as we go on. So just be thinking about that. And then I want you to listen to this in 4:11. Close your eyes. And he gave the apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers to what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body. And I told you before, I've never been a bodybuilder. At all. So open your eyes again, and you can look and go, yeah, you're right, you wasn't. But I'm a bodybuilder now for Jesus. And the way you build up the body of Christ is all the components and all the parts working together and working properly. Say that with me again, properly. And then we mature into manhood. So we know as Christians that manhood is not measured at how strong or how much money you make. It's those who lead their families in Jesus Christ day in and day out. And he said, then you'll understand the stature and fullness of Christ, verse 14, that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves carried about by every wind, doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Here's what I cautioned my pastors and deacons this morning in the deacons meeting again. I said, the world is leading and conditioning people's minds. However you look at this, just within the last year or 15 months, look at how the world has changed. Just how wherever you just have to look at it because it's factual. You go, we have people telling us that we need to do this, and then oh, we messed up. Now it's this, and then it's something, and then next thing, and you're waiting. Here's the deal: if you want to know the truth and speak in love, you'll have to read the Word of God. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. So I hope you're clapping here at the end of the message. So we have to do all this, and that way, so you and your family aren't deceived anymore by craftiness from the devil. And then underline this in verse 15 in your Bible. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. And that's what we're going to come back to, so be ready for that. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So if you have a key kind of handy, go ahead and grab it. We're going to be talking about the doors that God wants to unlock in your life. So if you're a Christian, I thought of this, and I told the North Service this a couple of weeks ago or so, and what would happen if you got into heaven and there was all these blessings or maybe finances or all the ministries or all this different thing and you went down Heaven's Row down on Main Street and all these lockers were full and you put your last name on the locker there. And you say, what are all these, God? And you say, these are all the blessings that I had for you that you never asked for or had the key to unlock because you never operated in love. Somebody ought to say, oh, me. Now, I mean, I'm just talking, and I'll bring, if it's Shelby or who's coming up today, we'll bring them up. Listen to this. I want you, let's drop the house lights down for a second. What I'm trying to get you to do is start by operating in love. And it sounds a little flimsy, but actually love is very bold. Because I could never, watch this, and I want to talk to the guys again. I could never tell another dude that I loved him. I couldn't do that, man, because I thought it was unmanly. But what I didn't realize is how much of a blessing I was robbing my brothers of. And then watch this, guys. God freed me from having to be macho all the time. And I could walk up to my brothers and or whoever it is and just tell them, you know what, I love you with a brotherly type love. Amen. And then watch this. And then in heaven, you guys can stand up. Then in heaven, God would unlock another door, another locker full of the blessings, and he would rain it down on me. And then I would use that, and then as I went more and more and operated more and more in the spirit of love, more and more blessings were raining down on me. Now let me take you back to this because this is the most important part of the message. Verse 15. So it's rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up, say that with me, grow up in every way into him who is the head of the body, or into Christ. So I want to talk to you about speaking the truth in love, and I want you to close your eyes just to listen to this. So let's say in 2021 or 2022, we talked about this in our meeting too, that one day they're going to, you know, there's going to be some laws instituted that the church can't do this and speak like this or speak. Here's what I want to try to tell you. My job, I told you before, is mandated by God. I have to speak the truth in love. If they vote in the highest court in the land, senior, and they say, no, we have finally found out there's actually two ways to get to heaven and not one way. I would have to get to the pulpit here today, and I would have to say, that is a lie from the pit of hell. There's only one way to get to the cross, and it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. You can start, Shelby. So, and you go, well, why would you do that? Because I'm mandated to speak the truth in love. Not because I'm a preacher or a pastor, but because I'm a brother in Christ. So he's not just preaching to the preachers and the prophets and the apostles here. He's preaching to all the brother. He says you have to operate and speak the truth. I got to speak the truth in love. Some of you guys need to say something to your family members or your children or your kids or your neighbor and speak to them in love. Go, you know what, man? We've been dealing with this. Hold on, watch this. We've been dealing with this issue for days and weeks and months, and we can't do it anymore. As a preacher, I can't have you walk in the church every day or every week and me not speak the truth in love, no matter what the world says. I'm mandated by God to speak the word of God in truth and in love. I'm under a mandate by God. Hold on for a second. You go, man, that's pretty strong. Oh, God's strong. God don't mince words. He doesn't stumble in his speech. He's very clear. His word has been written. So we went over some things in a staff meeting last Monday, and all the people that were getting saved, they go, man, we really need to tell our people and our members and our people that are joining and getting saved something very simple and something very precise. As we love them so much. I go, man, let's, and I just tell them, I go, tell them this. And then God led me to this scripture here in John. And you've probably heard it before. And it's in John chapter 3. You guys were all applauding about speaking the truth in love. For God so loved the world. This is what I told my staff to say. Tell me if this is simple and true at the same time. Watch this, Debbie. That he gave his one and only son. So if somebody votes in some high court in some land and they say, Pastor, we want you to start preaching that there's actually multi ways to get there and so everybody feels good, I'm going to say, I can't do that. I'm under mandate of God. I can't give in and make you feel good just because you think there's another way. It don't matter what you think and it don't matter what I think. It's what does the book say? You go, well, man, that could divide my family because my family thinks that we can be saved through paying penance and working our way in. Man, let me tell you, look at me for a second. You think you're going to work your way into a holy heaven? You're going to achieve greatness and sinlessness by your own work? Man, that's flying in the face of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So that's the truth. As Christians, we believe that. So why, in the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So why are we avoiding this eternal life? He's given gifts. We just read that to men. What's the most precious gift of all? That you're going to live forever if you receive Jesus. And you go, oh. So what you'll have to do today is you'll have to do this. You have to realize in your life, you're going to go, I finally realized that I'm a sinner. And sinner, being a sinner is doing something wrong or all wrongdoing at 1 John 5:17. then you go, and then you'll have to come to yourself and you go, I have no way of fixing this thing. You go, Pastor, who fixes sin? Mike, and I'll tell you, his name is Jesus. He can fix all sin. All sin. No matter what you've done today or what you're going to do tomorrow. Who wouldn't want to have that gift? And then the second verse here is the one that's probably never preached on at all. It's in 17. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So it's not a God that sits up in heaven with a big hammer and wanting to pound people down because they've done wrong. He said, just contrary to that, he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to save the world. Isn't that a good message today? He didn't have two sons. He had one son, and he sent the very best. I believe there's somebody here today who would like to be saved. Saved from their sin and live forever. Did you feel God moving in your heart? He's talking to you today. 1, 2, 3, put up your hand if you feel God speaking to you. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. Don't come in here and lie in church. He's talking. Just so you raise your hand, he say, he's talking to me. He's talking to you. He's just using me today. He uses preachers all over the world to do this. See, here's what's going on, class. I'm reading out of his love letter to you. Come on down, brother, right down here. Just come down here. Stand with me, Tony. Come on down here. I'm not going to interview you and ask you what's going on in your world. And ma'am, would you come down right here? Just stand right here. Just to know what I'll pray for you. Do you believe that God speaks to people? I do. Eternal life, man, that's cool. Living forever. In glory with family members and friends and all the great characters of the Bible. Who do you want to meet when you get into glory? I got some people I want to meet. I want to meet. I want to meet my daughter. And I want to meet my other daughter. And I want to meet my mom. My friends, Brett. Does anybody in this church understand how fragile life is? You want to see Toad when I get there? But you can't, you won't see him if you don't have eternal life. Don't walk out the doors today and go, well, I'll give my life to Jesus later. Can you imagine that? Your family members are probably up there rooting you on like, come on, dude, what's wrong with you, man? You feel like that today? Or maybe it's a sister. Is there a sister here today who needs to feel the love of God? Right there. Come on down. Eternal life, say that with me, say eternal life. Man, I'm hooked on that, man. Speaking the truth in love. All right, so I'm going to ask. I promise you it'll be the most important question ever asked in your life, I guarantee it. No question in my mind. Would you like to be saved today? That's the most important question anybody could ever ask you. I promise you it is. And how you answer is up to you. So what I'm going to ask the whole church to do and all my friends that are on live stream, just close your eyes and say, yes, I would like to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. 1, 2, 3, throw up your hand and stay right where you're at. I want to pray for you. I just want to pray for you, those who are receiving Jesus today. Father God, they're here today. They want to be saved. They want to give their life to you today. They want to start a relationship with you today. Can I have a brother or a sister come down and start praying for some of the brothers with their hands up and the sisters? Strong in the faith, followers, faithful followers of Jesus who believe in salvation by confessing their sins to Jesus and asking Him to save their soul, though, and believe that Jesus died on the cross at Calvary and the blood that was shed at Calvary is sufficient for our sin debt. It's a special place in the house of God, isn't it? Feel like you belong here today? And then let me pray for the saints that are here today, those who are already believers in Jesus. Would you pray with me today on this one? Heavenly Father, for the saints today, Lord God, they may need an extra special dose of the Holy Ghost. That they got going on in their life today, they need assistance that the world can't give them. Church, I'm trying to tell you today that the world can't offer you anything that Jesus can. If you've tried the world's way, say amen, and I'm ready for Jesus to get back in my life. The world failed you. Jesus will never fail you. World has nothing. You guys have tried the world over and over. Now it's time for you to say, I want what Jesus has for me today. It's all good things, isn't it? We give God the glory today that we could all be together in His house today and celebrate for the salvations and the rededications and the baptisms and the membership. Let me talk to one more person today that wants to be freed from the shackles that have bound them. Addictions, mental shortcomings, speech that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Throw your hands up and ask God to set you free. Say, God, I want to be set free from this thing, man. It's starting to get to me. I want somebody to be honest in the church today. Free by the blood of Jesus is what I am. I'm not bound by addictions and my shortcomings and my lack in any area. Jesus has filled all the voids in my life. I give Him the glory that I'm with the brethren today and all my sisters. In Jesus' name, this church says hallelujah.